Our Father in heaven.
Our Father in heaven.
So if you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 683. Or if you have an app, you can open it up to Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at verses 13 to 20. This continues as part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And last week we had the familiar passage on the Beatitudes. And today is a rather familiar passage about being the salt and light of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out, trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Older Christian friends, did your parents ever have expectations of you? Whoa, some high expectations probably. I know we had chores that we all had to do every week. And as we said with the kids, always say please and thank you whenever you ask for anything. We were expected to have good sportsmanship. That was the toughest thing for me personally. We always had to be in church every Sunday, and in Sunday school, we in our church, we had little bars with perfect attendance, and all of our family, we never missed a Sunday at all. And as we got older, we were expected to do well in school and go to college. Those were just some of our expectations. And sometimes our parents' expectations can be positive and give us direction in life, and other times they can seem like a huge burden and make us feel inadequate when we can't fulfill those expectations. Sometimes a parent's expectation is that you'll do well in school, but you may have a learning disability. My brother was dyslexic and constantly struggled in school, where the rest of us got by much easier. You know, some parents think you should try out for sports, but maybe you're the one that likes to just sit with a book in a room and read all day. Some parents' expectations are, you know, children are to be seen, not heard, but you're the ADD kid bouncing off the walls and always getting into trouble because you just can't sit still. Again, you may either have positive or negative memories about parents' expectations of you growing up. Well, in today's gospel lesson, Jesus has expectations for us. And he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you were listening to Jesus at the time when he said that, that would have been an often awful, intimidating statement to make. Because the Pharisees and the scribes were the holiest of people. And the Bible tells us the Pharisees prayed at least twice a day, and not just, you know, a quick little prayer, but they would devote themselves to a time of prayer twice a day. We're told every week they fasted, not to lose weight, but as a spiritual exercise, at least once a week they'd fast for the day. They all gave 10% of everything they earned to the temple. And they followed all the laws just to the letter. And so here Jesus says, and your righteousness must be greater than the scribes and the Pharisees, or else you can't get into the kingdom of heaven. That's intimidating. You know, how many of you can say, yeah, my righteousness is greater than that? Most of us would pale in comparison to those expectations that the Pharisees had. So to really understand what Jesus is talking about here, we have to look elsewhere as well as what the scriptures say about righteousness. And so St. Paul in Romans tells us, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, has been revealed. And what is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So what Paul is saying is we become righteous not through what we do, as if we can become holy through our own efforts, but we're righteous, we're made holy, we're made right with God through faith in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Paul goes on to say later in verse 28, we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So righteousness is kind of redefined. Not my personal righteousness or good works that I do, but it's in faith we look to the righteousness of God, the grace that he has shown to us through Jesus Christ. And that righteousness is faith in the undeserved grace of God. That's why in that text when Jesus said, I don't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it even down to the last stroke, that's not what we do, but it is what Jesus did. He perfectly fulfilled the law so that he might offer his life as a sacrifice for our sins, so that we might be made holy by his forgiveness. So we are righteous because God declares it. And that's the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is, if I had to, on my own, try to exceed the scribes and Pharisees, there wouldn't be many here that would be able to do that. In fact, probably none of us. They were fanatics. They were zealous. But instead, we're made righteous by what Jesus has done for us as an act of grace on our behalf. And that changes our whole lives because we don't have to try to constantly earn God's favor, kind of like parental expectations. Some people growing up felt like they never quite were loved by their parents because they were never good enough. And there are some people that feel the same way about God that way. Never quite good enough to really be loved by God. And they take that relationship they may have had with their parents and they project it onto God. But God's not that way. God says, I came to forgive. I came to die on behalf of you. God so loved the world, he gave his son. And so we don't have to worry about not being good enough for God to love us. No, faith is faith that God loves us sinners that we are. Faith in a God of grace. That's where our righteousness starts. And so when you think of a Monopoly board and the go space, and you start from the go space, for Christian, everything starts from faith in the undeserved grace of God. That's where our journey through life begins. The go space is we start with faith that you've gotten more from God than you deserve. And it's out of that faith in God's grace that we then seek to be light in the world. In fact, Jesus in that text doesn't say you should be light. He says you are light. You are salt. And so when we have faith in Jesus Christ, we are light. We have grace. And now he says simply share that light in the world. You've been loved, you've been forgiven, you are children of God, you've received more than you deserve. Now go out into the world and share the good news that others can have that, and be that light. Be people who reflect the grace you've received from God out toward others in the world. That is our calling in the world. And again, it all stems from our focus on God. That's where the scribes and Pharisees got it all wrong. Their righteousness was all about themselves, so that they could boast how much better they were than other people. And they thought, look at me, look at how good I am. And so when you think that you are good because you've done better, you have a tendency to then look down and judge others who haven't worked as hard as you have. And so that's what the Pharisees does, always looking down on somebody else because they thought their favor with God was based on how much better they were than others. And it made them a judgmental. It made them everything that so many people in our society think that Christians are. You know, people outside the church so often when they hear about Christians, they say, oh, Christians, they're judgmental. You know, they're self-righteous. No, that's exactly what we're trying to avoid. That's what Jesus said. That's not the righteousness that you have, because your righteousness is based on grace, not because you can boast about how good you are. And so again, our righteousness goes back to a gift from God. And when that becomes the core of who we are in Christ, people who have been given more than we deserve, then our lives reflect that with the fruits of faith or the fruits of gratitude and thanksgiving. We have a God that's loved us, given us more than we deserve. That's going to make me thankful and gratitude. That's going to affect the way not only I see myself in relationship to God, but if I'm now going to be his light in the world, I'm going to take that gratitude and thanksgiving, and that's how I'm going to try and interact with those around us. So Jesus is saying that our good works are a light that point to the goodness of God. You know, he says, you know, let your light so shine that your good works may glorify the Father. So we don't do good works to glorify ourselves, but because we've received grace, we show grace that we can show to people that God is a God of grace. And that's our job, to then receive the light, be filled with the light, and then share it in the world. You know, one of the things I love about our men's breakfast that I look forward to, sometimes the meals are really good, sometimes they're okay. I don't go there because of the meal. I go there for the fellowship and what we do as a group. And one of the things we do every time we gather is read a letter from our Compassion International kids. And every time we read that letter, it starts, I thank God for you. That's worth the price of admission right there. I thank God for you. And those kids will say, because of your support, you know, I'm in a church or I'm in a program where I'm fed, where I'm helped with my homework, where I'm giving guidance, where I feel safe, where I come to know God. That's letting your light shine. And so whether it's the Welka groups or the men's groups or individuals, when we adopt those kids through Compassion International, we're letting our light shine, making a difference in their lives. And so the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is the righteousness of good works that are done in response to God's grace, not for our sake, but for the sake of others, so that God may be glorified. 60 Minutes recently did a story on refugees from Syria, and there was a conservative Southern Baptist congregation in Tennessee that had adopted several Syrian Muslim refugees. And the issue wasn't not what our policy on immigration should be. The issue is, if you have people in your community, how are you going to treat the people that are here? And that church says, they're going to adopt Muslims, and they had a family, and it showed how they got them housing, how they helped them get jobs, how they helped them become of a community. And then that pastor was sharing, what do you think is going to build peace in our country, in our world? If we shun, if we set fire to mosques, or if we show them love and grace and mercy and help them? And in the long run, when we show mercy, we create an atmosphere of mercy to those around us. That is the righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. It is the righteousness of good works done in response to God's grace, not for ourselves, but for the sake of others, so that God may be glorified. A week ago Saturday, we had two different groups meeting, and the Enter Hall was Victory Outreach. We rent our facilities to them, but they really are a ministry partner because they reach out to people we would never reach. And their ministry in particular is to those who are addicted to drugs and alcohol. And their whole meeting was over there raising money so that they could have a sober house to help men and women get off of drugs and alcohol. At the same time they were meeting, there were a group of us over in North Hall who were a part of the Kairos prison ministry. And Kairos goes into the jails a couple times a year. It's an ecumenical group, a diverse number of Christians who come in to share the love of Christ with those in prison. The amazing thing, one of the things that got me interested in that was the statistics that for those prisoners that go through Kairos, they're 3 to 4 times less likely to return to jail than those who don't. It's because they have a sense of hope. They have a sense of love. And the theme when we go into those prisons is listen, listen, love, love. We don't condone what's been done in the past, but we give hope for the future. That you can still be loved and cared for, and you can have a different life grounded in God's love and grace for you. And it changes lives when we do that. That is righteousness that exceeds that of scribes and Pharisees. It is the righteousness of good works done in response to God's grace, not for ourselves, but for others, so that God may be glorified. And that's God's expectations for us, that we will respond to His grace with faith. Not so that we will be saved. You are the light. You have been saved. God has been gracious to you. Take that light, that good news that is yours in Christ, and share the light in the world, that others too can come to know a God who is gracious and loving. And that wasn't only at the cross, but Jesus' entire life was one of sacrifice, was one of grace, was one of mercy as he reached out to all those who were around him. And so now he says, what's my expectation of you? Be light. Take the grace that I've shown to you. Take the love that I've shown to you. And love one another as I have first loved you. Go, be the light of Christ in our world. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, many people live in darkness. Feelings of inadequacy, feelings of anger, feelings of hopelessness for so many different reasons. And you are the light of love and of grace and of hope and salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you have touched our hearts with your light. That we don't have to worry, have we done enough to please you? No, you've done enough to save us. You have been gracious to us. Lord, fill our hearts with thanksgiving for your grace, and then let us be your light in the world. Amen. Our worship continues now with our offering.